Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I made my way to Disneyland with my older daughter to celebrate her birthday. And one of my favorite attractions at the happiest place on earth is the Pirates of the Caribbean. It's nostalgic. It reminds me of being a kid going on that ride. I don't know if you've ever been on that ride. I'm going to give just a little spoiler here. So if you haven't been on it, I mean, come on, where have you been? But there's the section of the ride, you're drifting slowly through a cave, and all you see on your left and your right are bones. Bones sitting in chairs, skeletons at tables, bones lying in a bed, bones clutching to treasure that no longer matters, and these bones are dead. They are completely dead. And echoing through that part of the ride is an ominous phrase, repeating it over and over, and it says, "Dead men tell no tales." Dead men tell no tales. It can sound a little threatening, because we also know something true, that death seems to end the story, that death silences the voice, that death shuts everything down. It protects secrets, because dead men tell no tales. When I looked at the readings assigned for today, I saw the Old Testament lesson. This image popped up in my head because Ezekiel's confronted with something rather similar. He writes, "The valley was full of bones, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry." You see, these are not wounded people. These are not sick people. These are bones. This is not some theme park attraction. And the bones are not fresh either. The text says, importantly, that they were very dry. And I think that detail matters. These are not bodies that have just fallen. These are bones that have been lying there for a long time. Whatever life once filled them is now completely gone. And the Lord asks Ezekiel a question. "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, from a human perspective, the answer is pretty obvious, right? No, they can't. Because we know dead men tell no tales. Bones do not live, graves do not open, death has the last word. But the valley of dry bones is not just a strange vision from an old book. It is a picture of what sin does. Sin is not something, simply something that makes life messy. Sin doesn't simply wound you. Sin kills. The valley Ezekiel sees is the result of Israel's rebellion against the Lord, their idolatry, their refusal to trust the God that gave them life, and that sin cut them off from the source of life, and the result was death. And that valley is not only about ancient Israel, it's also about you. Your problem is not that you occasionally struggle to do the right thing. Your problem is not that you sometimes make mistakes. Your problem is sin. You chase things down you believe that will give you life. You trust in your own strength. You build your identity on comfort, success, pleasure, control. But every one of those things pulls you further and further away from the God who is the source of life. And when you're cut off from that source, there's only one result, and that's death. And it's not just physical death someday, it is spiritual death now. And you can't bring yourself back to life any more than a pile of dry bones can assemble itself and start breathing again, because dead men tell no tales. Now, sometimes we try to soften death with the language we use. Sometimes we say people are lost. You say someone passed away. In the scriptures, they say someone is sleeping. It's understandable that we speak that way. Death is painful to talk about. The scriptures don't soften it. Jesus has to say it plainly. And in Ezekiel's vision, the bones are not weak bones. They are not injured bones. They are very dry. They are dead. When you turn to the gospel, we see something similar. The disciples thought that Lazarus was resting. Jesus had to say it plainly. Lazarus has died. When he gets on scene, he arrives and Jesus tells him to roll away the stone, and Martha stops him. She says, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days." In other words, Martha is saying the same thing that Ezekiel saw. Death has done its work. Dead men tell no tales. And that's the reality that this text, in fact, the Old Testament and the Gospel, confront us with today. Eventually, every one of you is going to stand where Mary and Martha stood, looking at a grave, knowing that death has done its work. And in that moment is the moment when Jesus speaks. But before he speaks, he takes a moment. And John tells us something important. John says Jesus wept. He was moved. Jesus sees Mary weeping. He hears the mourners crying. He stands face to face with the grief that death has brought into the world, and he is deeply moved. He is troubled, and he joins in their tears. And he gives the command, take the stone away. And after they remove it, Jesus cries out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, it's also interesting to note that Lazarus doesn't help in this process. He doesn't reach out from the grave. He doesn't cooperate. He does not slowly recover. The word made flesh does all the work. Quick aside, I always wonder a little bit about how Lazarus might have dealt with this whole situation. He has died. He is with the Lord, and then all of a sudden, the Lord calls him back. Must have been strange for him. But then the impossible happens. Our text says the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped in a cloth. Must have been a sight to see. Death thought it had the final word, but the word of Christ speaks life. The same thing happens in Ezekiel's valley. God tells the prophet, prophesy over these bones, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And when the word is spoken, the bones come together, flesh appears, breath enters, and life returns. Because life always comes from the word of God. I find it interesting that scripture oftentimes connects life with water and breath and spirit, and dryness is the absence of life. And it made me wonder this week, maybe not an overt text of baptism, but reminded me of baptism. Because baptism, before baptism, your bones were just as dry as those ones in the valley, and you were just as dead as Lazarus. And when you were baptized, the word of Christ was spoken once again, and that was joined with the water and with the Spirit, and life was given. In baptism, you were buried with Christ in his death, and your sin was carried into his grave. And the promise spoken over you in that water is this, just as Christ is risen from the grave, you will be raised also. Which means that your baptism is not simply just something that happened long ago. It is the promise for your future. The water of baptism tells you that death does not get the final word over you. That same word speaks today to you, because Christ has carried your sin to the cross. Christ has borne the condemnation that belonged to you. Christ has entered the grave that your sin deserved. And because he has died and risen, this is the verdict spoken over you. Paul wrote it to the Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not less condemnation, not delayed condemnation, no condemnation for you. Your sin has been condemned in Christ. Your death has been defeated. And the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Which means the story is not over. You've already heard that same voice that brought life to dry bones and decayed flesh. You heard it when the word of Christ was spoken over you in baptism. You'll hear it when the bread and the wine are placed into your hands. Here's where the Lord joins his promises to water and bread and wine and says that your sin is forgiven, death is defeated, and your life belongs to Christ. And you hear it week in and week out when you come here in worship, from one sinner's mouth to your sinner's ears, you hear that you are forgiven, which means the story of your life doesn't end in the grave. One day that voice that called Lazarus from the tomb will speak again. Jesus himself promised it. He said, "The hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out." Not just Lazarus, but every grave, every cemetery, every one of your loved ones who has died, every place where death seems to have the final word, because the voice that cried out at Bethany is the same voice that spoke the world into existence, and the voice that will call you. Dead men tell no tale. Well, there's one who was dead who does tell a tale. In a world ruled by death, it sounds like dead men tell no tales is true, but the gospel and the words of Christ tell a different story, because Christ entered death. He became a dead man. He went to the grave, but he rose again to speak to you. And it's not just a tale, it is the truth. And this is his truth. Your sin is forgiven. Your condemnation is gone. When Christ calls your name, you will walk out of the grave just as Lazarus did, because the word that raises the dead has already spoken over you. And that is a true tale for all who are dead. Name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve your hearts and minds, true faith to life.